Kof Vov Tammuz, Monday the 29th of July, Rabbi Rafi Garson, Substances, Use and Abuse, the Torah View. Narcotic children.
A couple of sheets I threw out this morning with the printer, so, and it's only part of them because Dudley didn't have a chance to print them. It's usually about 15 pages. I've only just given you a sampling of some Mekorot and some ideas. So let's begin. I just want to say a proviso, a couple of things. Firstly, Dudley's been trying to get me here for 2.5 years. I'm either out the country regularly guiding, or I just can't get here from Boreham Wood, so it's been a while. And I just want to say something, you know, that there's talking about hashkacha pratit. The idea, this is a very taboo topic, I understand, that's why I put my son outside. But Dudley sent me, he sent me a WhatsApp a few hours ago. BBC News today, and I was supposed to speak tomorrow, but this is today. BBC headline news, cannabis to be legalized in the UK within 5 years. Today's headline. Mamash and Yonah the Yoma. So let's try and just deal with some of the ideas. Some of these things I heard from Rabbi Lichtenstein and other Mekorot, which I've found over the last couple of months. And the truth of the matter is, he wants to spread this out over a couple of shiurim. I gave this a couple of weeks ago in my shul. It lasted a good hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes. We've got 27, so we'll see how we go. We know that Canada in 2008, I think it was, 2018, legalized cannabis or marijuana. It was the first in the world. And therefore, the first in that part of the world. We'll get to it. You're a maven. Amazing. So you're going to go down to Reich to get your children. Maybe in a few years' time, you'll be able to go down and get your cannabis as well. The question is, therefore, what is the halacha? There are 30 states in America today where medicinal marijuana is legal. There are 10 states where even for recreational purposes it's legal. What about hash brownies, cakes with marijuana in them? What is the halacha? And the controversial move to some extent of the OU, one of the biggest kashrut, it's not the biggest kashrut authorities in the world, where recently they actually provided a heksha, okay, to products containing marijuana. And therefore it, you know, raises all sorts of different questions, halachically, hashkafically, how we deal with this. What does the Torah say about it? What does the halacha say about it? And therefore, rather than just sweeping under the carpet, pretend it doesn't exist, it's a reality, it's existing. Mefurish at BBC News this morning. So how are we going to deal with that? And let's try and deal with some of the, grapple with some of the issues. So just on the front sheet, it's actually a couple of pages. I just want to give you a brief overview, if you're not familiar with what cannabis is, because we have to contextualize a lot of these things to really understand it. So cannabis is also known as marijuana. It's the most widely used illegal drug in the UK. And the effects can vary from person to person. People feel relaxed and happy. Some people become more talkative. They get hunger pangs. Colors may look more intense. Time may feel like it's slowing down. Sounds like a great thing. Yeah. Cannabis have other side effects. If you're not used to it, you may feel faint or sick. It can make you feel lethargic, affect your memory, makes people feel confused, anxious or paranoid. Hallucinations and interferes with your ability to drive safely. Long-term use effect can affect your ability to learn and concentrate. Now the question is, can you get addicted to this? It's all from the NHS. Research shows that 10% of regular users become dependent on it. Your risk of getting addicted is high if you start using it in your teens. The reality is that even in the Haredi world, this is a problem. As with other addictive drugs such as cocaine, heroin, you can develop a tolerance to it, and therefore you need to get more in order to get the same effect. Mental health is a major issue over here. It can lead to schizophrenia, psychotic illnesses, where you start seeing things which don't really exist. And, of course, you have other risks. For example, if you start at a young age, that it can lead to terrible things in later life, apparently, including, God forbid, fertility issues. A woman never is pregnant, can affect the unborn baby, heart disease, all sorts of other different things. The question, though, therefore, is does it actually have any medicinal benefits? So the NHS's stance in our country today is cannabis contains active ingredients called cannabinoids. Two of these, which I can't even pronounce, are the active ingredients of a drug called Sativex, and this is used to relieve the pain of muscle spasms in multiple sclerosis, and another drug, etc., etc. Now, the Department of Health and Social Care, which is not in here, they issued a very important paper on the 31st of October last year, where a very well-known doctor, Professor Dame Sally Davis, the chief medical officer of the government, lays out the plans as to whether or not this should be permitted or not should be permitted. The reality is that if you've actually been watching or hearing the news recently, particularly in the last couple of months, there were many stories of a child, particularly in this country, had epilepsy and all sorts of things and managed to get the drug from America. The bottom line is that this is clearly something that causes, can have after effects or effects, but at the end of the day can also cause tremendous pain relief to a lot of patients that are suffering around the world. We know that the BBC, when they talked about what happened in Canada in 2018, and you were correct, that they became the second country after Uruguay to legalize it. It's been medical marijuana that's been legal since 2001. And there's concerns about how to deal with this. And the question is why it became legal, and that's the question that the UK is grappling with as well. Information was sent to 15 million households about the new laws, and there were all public awareness campaigns. There was some guy that queued up 8 o'clock the night before so you can make history, be the first Canadian to buy it. But at the end of the day, they explain the following. Legalization fulfills a 2015 campaign by the Prime Minister, who argued that Canada's nearly century-old laws criminalizing the use of drugs have been ineffective, given that Canadians are still amongst the world's heaviest users. The new law, he says, is designed to keep drugs out of the hands of minors and profits out of the hands of criminals. Federal government also predicts it will raise $400 million in tax revenues on the sale of the cannabis. And then what's interesting is the BBC has a map of the world, which I printed on your sheets, where it shows you the prevalence of the use of it across the world, the UK being one of the highest, at over 8% of the population are anyways using this originally. And therefore the question is, by legalizing it, do you then say it's not a poison fruit anymore, it's not a poison chalice, people are not going to be trying to grab it because it's anyways mutter. And there's all these sorts of different...
Same as cigarette, isn't it?
Yeah, all these sorts of things which will be raised. Now, the truth of the matter is, when you start digging into Mikorot and to sources to try and find stuff that is written about this, it's quite interesting that, you know, contemporary poskim deal with it a bit. If you go back into the Rishonim Acharonim, it's only really dealt with, you know, a little bit, but the Tanakh doesn't really have so much about this type of idea, and I think that speaks volumes. And what we're going to try and do over the next few minutes, and I've cut out a lot so far from my general Hagdama, is a couple of things. One is, what is the Torah viewpoint? And also, you know, if doctors have a legal right or an illegal right to prescribe that from a Torah perspective, how does that work? How does that work within Dina de Mahusa Dina? All these type of things which are raised. Now, one of the earliest authorities that deals with this is the Radvaz. Now, Radvaz was Rav David ben Zimra, who was the chief rabbi of Egypt. And in his days, I'll just make references, he writes, this concept of the leaves of the canvas tree, which they used to eat in Mitzrayim, is shaker, and it makes people inebriated. And he goes on to say that it calms people down. So it was something that's discussed. Let's put something out there straight away before we move forward. The concept of drug use and the idea of drugs is not a new phenomenon. It dates back, if you do a quick Google search, to thousands of years. Okay, thousands of years. So let's take this one by one and talk about the following thing before I deal with the Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein. There's another Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe Elephant, who is the COO. You might be familiar with him. He gives one of the largest Daf Yomi Shurim online. I think he gets about 2,500 people every day that listen to him, something like that. But he's the CEO of OU, the OU Kashrus Authority, which, as we know, is probably one of the biggest Kashrus authorities in the world. And they've essentially allowed most people who visit America or Canada today to essentially go into almost any supermarket and buy almost every product, which is quite amazing. The OU recently gave a heksher to marijuana edibles. And they raised all sorts of moral issues. And after many hours of consultation, the companies that they certified should put out there make recreational marijuana products as well. But the OU only certify medical products that contain marijuana. And as a matter of principle, you know, not because it's not kosher, it's just a matter of principle. And so too with cigarettes. You mentioned cigarettes before. When I heard this interview a couple of years ago, so he said that a cigarette, which is something I didn't know, and we should never smoke it, but if we do, it can contain over 200 different ingredients. And because of the surgeon's general warning, they won't certify cigarettes. You won't find cigarettes that have a mahadran or any heksher for that reason. Now,
what can be true about marijuana if it's a weed?
Fine, okay, but there's other things that go. I'm talking about marijuana edibles in the product itself, not the raw the raw thing itself, that you probably buy on street corners. We're talking about things that are produced in factories. Now, the Department of Health and Justice in America, states have legalized it only for, most states have legalized it only for recreational purposes, and have even for recreational purposes, but the Department of Health in America today, this is what he said, still considers it a dangerous substance, so they will not give it a hechsher if it's for recreational purposes. And you can go into supermarkets in America today, you can buy brownies and you can buy chocolates and monkey bars. I think you put it on the front page, some pictures of it. There are products... No, I'm talking about even for non-medical. You can actually go into a supermarket, like whatever, Walmart or Target in America today in certain states, and there are products you can buy off the shelf which contain marijuana. Just stun for recreational purposes. Now, he explained that they had a lot of consultations with Rabbonim and many hours before they came to the decision, because many people said that if the OU say that marijuana is okay, then it was always a stamp of approval, it was a stempel, it was a head that, therefore, that all the other products are okay. And somebody, you know, that was a dilemma, but he said that somebody who wants to experiment with marijuana is not waiting for the heksha of the OU. Okay? Bottom line. So yes, it can help, so therefore we can help with people that have chronic pains. That is where marijuana comes into play, and that is why they licensed it, because bottom line, it has clearly been established in the medical world now, almost unanimously, that it can alleviate pain. It can alleviate pain. Now, that's point number one. Point number two, there was Rav Mendel Kaplan, who is the executive director of Chabad in Toronto. He says, you know, the hashkafa of it also has to be discussed. You know, some of them comes to their Rav and he says, Rabbi, he says, can I go and buy marijuana? Where's Issa? Kach lechasamim, yeah. Mitzvah. Okay, well, but where's Issa? The status quo is if something's not Issa, then it's not Issa. It's not mentioned in the Gemara, it's not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. So, you know, where's the Issa per se of a Yid going ahead and buying marijuana? But I think there is, however, a Torah perspective. Medicine is one issue. If pain is relieved and is managed and is helped and is calmed by taking marijuana, then presumably that's okay. You know, the Maggid of Mezrich once said that if the body is suffering, then the neshama is suffering as well. And a Jew needs to be healthy. So the issue here that we're discussing is recreational marijuana. And it's a huge topic of discussion. The biggest question that I got asked, which I just want to flesh out with you a little bit when I was doing this, is why is it any different to alcohol? Alcohol. You know, alcohol changes one's consciousness, and yet we find, to a certain extent, the Torah encourages it. The mitzvah of zechira on Shabbat has to be done over wine. On Pesach, we drink 4 cups of wine. The Gemara talks about situations where the rabbis suffered with headaches and all sorts of problems, and yet they force themselves to drink it. The Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim, Tam Rabban Zachorta Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho, Zochreu Al HaYayin, you have to recall the Shabbat each week over wine. The Gemara Shabbos Daf Samach Vav on the bait, which you might have on your sheets. Ki Hada Rav Huna Me Bei Rav, Rav Me Bei Rav Chia, Rav Chia Me Bei Rav, Ki Ave Me Yasmi Maiti Mishcha Milcha, V'Shayfi Le Gavaisu Didayhu Ve Gavaiti Dikarayu, etc., etc. But essentially in this case over here with Rav Huna, once he left the house of the Nasi, Rav Yudha Nasi, when they were drunk, the rabbi would bring all sorts of oil and salt and rub it into the palms of their hands and into the soles of their feet. And they would say, just like the oil here is clear, let the wine of so-and-so and his mother become clear. And Rashi explains very clearly, they mebas mi shekurim, shayu mashkin et hatamidim, and he used to actually give these to his students. Since they were choshev, they used to drink something in order to, you know, calm down the effects of the wine. But the reality is, and we know this clearly when it comes to Purim and other things, that wine also blurs, you know, one's consciousness a little bit. And therefore, they got high. So what's the difference between drinking a very fine Balvini or whatever it is? I'm not a maven of whiskey, as I say, I'm not a proper rabbi because I don't drink. Or, you know, or Cabernet Sauvignon, whatever it is, and taking a shtickle marijuana. they're essentially maybe doing similar things to one's body. Yet one is seemingly encouraged, one is seemingly discussed, one is seemingly a mitzvah to some extent at times, and the other one is not discussed. So therefore, if someone comes to the rabbi and says, well, why, you know, can I have some marijuana, Rabbi?
There seems to be something obviously very special about the fruit of the vine, that the Kachrofu made it like something that
would... 100%, no one's disputing that. No one's disputing that. So the question is, you know, what does it mean to get high? What does it mean getting high? It's we're not talking about drugs and narcotics here. We're talking about alcohol. So, you know, it's no secret that Chabad, when they have their Febrengens, like we even have now in Boreham Wood, we have a Chabad, you know, they drink L'chaim and they get together. We have to talk about what that means. And people drink on Purim, and there's this minhag that's developed over time that people drink as well on Simchas Torah. But never once does the Torah encourage a mind-altering substance. The Torah is explicit when it comes to alcohol, which essentially is given there because it lowers inhibitions. It's not about being high. It's about being able to feel free to express oneself. It brings the drinking of wine, or supposed to, if you look through the Svarim, is supposed to bring achdut and cohesion and loving of one's fellow Jew. Alcohol is supposed to bring people together in a positive way. Whereas narcotics, I think, is the exact opposite. It removes people from each other. People generally don't smoke socially to get on the people, but they do it on their own, unlike marijuana. And abusing alcohol, by the way, also is not okay in Yiddishkeit. Hasidim, generally speaking, never drink alone. It's always with a goal to connect to others. The Gemara in Sanhedrin there, which you have on your sheets, the Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Gimel, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, Gedoyle Legima, the great is eating, Sherechika Shtei Mishpachom Yisrael, is a distance to Mishpachas and Yisrael, Shemar Adavar, Asher Lo Kidmu Etchem Belechem V'mayim, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Didei Amar, Mirachaket Et Akroikim, Mekarevet Et Rechoikim, that it brings those that are far near. Now, this is the idea of what we have drinking wine. On Pesach, people drink four cups of wine. Why we drink the four kusot of wine? Is to be able to reach a state where we feel free to be able to speak about the nischiyut of Am Yisrael. Wine makes things memorable. But there's guests around the Seder table. There's family around the Seder table. It's drunk in a group. There's a Talmudic principle. You know, En lecha bo ela mishat kiddusho. The Torah speaks about wine and only about wine. And to add all sorts of mind-altering substances, there's no discussion about this of Torah anywhere. And mind-altering substances, as I said before, they're not new. They're not new. They've been around for thousands of years. And the fact that we have no record of this in Torah, I think, speaks volumes as to whether or not this is appropriate to us as Jews or not. Let me just finish this point. We only have examples of where alcohol or bad alcohol was taken, where people got drunk. And if you look through Chazal, unanimously, generally speaking, it's where people drink alone. The one example that comes to mind is obviously with Noah, right? After the Mabul. There he got drunk, but he was drinking alone. In terms of the wine itself, okay, just to understand before we do the Ramosha here, which is important. Biur Halacha says, by Purim, which I found quite fascinating, I put this on your sheets as well, this concept of Chayav Inish Libesume, which they don't teach you in yeshiva, by the way. I didn't learn this when I was there. It says, okay, he says, maybe there will be spoilers for it. Says in Mishabura, Im tomar hechi chai v'chazal mashiniska batoi v'nevim v'kame mekumot ha-shechirut le-mikshol gadol. How could Chazal enforce and encourage something where we find in the Chazal themselves say is considered to be a stumbling block? Yesh lomar mi'bina shikon ha-nisim shana asuli sebe me'ach ha-shol sha'yud le-mishya. One of the reasons we drink on wine and Purim is because the whole Purim miracle came about through the drinking of the parties of Achashverosh. Kibitchilani tchada vashti al yidem ishteh. Vashi, right? The whole episode of Vashi came about as a result of drinking. Uba Esther, and that's how Esther came to power. Vechen inyan Haman umbapaloto haya al yidem ishteh. Haman's downfall came through drink. Velachen chivu hachamim nishtaker adegeshi niskar anesu gedo b'shiyadayin. Therefore the rabbis enforced us or encouraged us in Purim to drink, so remember the ness of Purim. He continues, Ad de lo yada, He says, however, the Eli Rabbah says, Mikom Akom Kol Zeh LeMitzvah VeLo LeAkif. It's a nice thing to do. You don't have to do it. Says the Mishnah Berurah in continuation, Ad Delo Yada VeZeh LaShon HaMeiri, Chayev Adam LeArbot BeSimcha BeYom Tov VeAchila VeShtiyah. A person has obligation to drink and eat on Yom Tov. Ad SheLo YichSar Shum Devar. UMikom Akom Enanu Mitzavim Nishtaker Ravchit Atzmenu Mitoch HaSimcha. There is no obligation to become debased through drinking and joy. There was no obligation to rejoice through frivolity and nourishkeit, which is an old Spanish word. Okay, with simcha of joy, to reach a state where we love Hashem, and we express gratitude for the misim. He says, given she called Nessa Yadi, the Ainachan Kabiramis Shakan, Kadesh Kohanes, the Omnam, Hayodea Batsmo, a person knows himself. She is Zalzil as the mitzvah, that by drinking he will then come to disgrace the mitzvahs of the Torah, for example, Natina Yadayim, he won't be able to bench, he won't be able to daven mincha, amarev, or Shinha Kalut Rosh, it's just going to be completely frivolous. Mutav Shelo Ishtaker, better that person doesn't get drunk, Bechom Asav Yul Hashem Shamayim. Says the Beis Yosef, says Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Karo, Chayav Inish Shebesum Puriye, Lo Shishtaker. Not that you should get drunk. Shashikros Isu Gamur. Getting drunk, put it out there, period, is completely and utterly prohibited. Ve'en Lecha Avera Gedoy LeMezu. Now, harsh words. There's no greater sin than getting drunk. Mizoshu Gorem LeGiloy Yarot Shepuchut Yamin Ve'kama Averot Zuratan Ashishtari Yotem Melimudomea. Forget the fact you can't learn, but at least all the worst Averas. The Rambam says, yeah, but not if you're going to get drunk. The Rambam says, yeah, but what? How you define that? Let's just see the Rambam very quickly. The Rambam says, kishacham shote yain, when a wise person drinks wine, ena shote ela kedel lishtot achila shemav. You drink wine just to digest your food. V'chol ha-mishtaker, anyone who gets drunk, harezeh chote, he's a sinner, meguneh, is despised, mafsit ha-chomato, he loses his wisdom. V'mishtaker bifnei ha-maharetz, harezeh chilal Hashem, if you get drunk in front of people, don't know any better, that's a chilal Hashem. You can't drink in the afternoon, even a little bit, unless it's for the function or the purpose of eating. Ram says, it's clear, unanimous amongst all the Rishonim, that drinking wine as well, okay, is within certain parameters and framework. So what does it therefore say? What does it therefore say about drugs? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has an interesting tshuva which he wrote. The question that I have on the Rav Moshe Feinstein, but I don't come to his fingernail, is would he have written the same tshuva today in 2019? Okay, this was written in, you have it on your sheet, where is this? Tafshin Lama Gimel, which is 1973. Okay. So the question is whether he would say the same thing. I'm just going to try and run through this as quickly as I can, but he essentially lays down five or six different principles as to why he thinks it's prohibited. There's also a well-known Maden Shlomer and others, Shlomer Obach, and Ravadia touches a little bit on Yabia Omer, as to what exactly the Isurim are with regards to drugs. And again, the challenge with this is it's not discussed. You won't find it in the Talmud, you won't find it in Drashim hardly. So what are the nekudot ha-merkazim here? What are the central points of issues? So the Rav Moshe Feinstein writing in 1973, okay, which you have on your sheets as well, and he says the following: Isur ishun samim. There he's referring to smoking or drugs. Even back then, it was a problem in the yeshiva world. The fact that some yeshiva bokhrim already had began to smoke lashon hashish, and if you didn't know how to spell marijuana in Hebrew, now you know. Okay, mem ayin resh aleph vav vav whatever. Pashu shu davar asur mikama yikra dinim shabatari. So it's clear to Rav Moshe Feinstein that this is something that is prohibited from several different approaches in Torah. Number one is shu mekalkel mechalef adaguf. He says it's something which actually damages the body itself. Ve'afim nimseu anashim v'reim shelo mazig. And even if you're going to say, oh, there's perfect people that smoke it and inject it and sniff it, whatever it is, and they don't get presumably damaged, kol kach. Aber mekalkehu et hadat affects one's mind. Ve'en an yecholim leavin davar leosho, they can't understand things clearly. Sheze od yoter chamur, and this is even more of a problem. Shelevashem oneh asmo minimutar, notwithstanding the fact that a person can't study Torah. Clearly, because of this, Karoi, Humeniya Gam Metibla Mamma said that prevents a person from davening, Umi Mitzvah Torah, Shasa, Belodat, Haruyu Kekulokiyam. Therefore, any mitzvahs that you do, when you're on a high, for lack of a better word, it's considered as if you haven't done them. That's number one. Number two, Shugorem Ta'ava Gedrai creates a tremendous appetite within the person, Shehu Yoter Mitavat Achila, which is greater than an appetite for food, Ukadomea Srichim Adam Liyachyoto, that a person needs to eat, V'yeshelo Yuchul El Samtzel, Marvin Amat, a person can't overcome this desire. V'hu Isur Chamur, this is a tremendous provision, Shenemba Be'Mensor Mora, it's this reference to the Mensor Mora, Ala Ta'ava Yoter Gedrai Sheshor Achila Afshul Achilat Keshvut. Even though the Mensor Mora is eating kosher food, still the concept of Ta'iva, that passion, that lust for something which is prohibited is an issue. The koshiken shasul avi atzmole tavagidura od yoter. Person shouldn't bring himself to such a state where he has such intense desires. Ulevar she leikashum sorech laadam bazeh shu asur. The avshel emalkud neima she'en onshim min hadin. Mikom makom nisur vaday over alav zeh. Ve'ike gam atam dike bemsoir moyer shesofor shelishtin at the bryot, as we know. Fine. And he says something interesting over here which I never thought about until I studied it. That's because we're not very Moshe Feinstein. Ve'hu a child that is going through drug abuse causes immense pain, suffering, and sorrow to his parents. Smoking drugs is a prohibition of kibud avaim because you're causing pain and suffering to one's parents. The famous pirush of the Rambam. And Moshe Ben Maimon, those are coming in the Hendon Adash trip next year with me. It's almost sold out, okay? In Girona, an hour from Barcelona, which is where the Rambam was. The Rambam talks about being Menuba B'Shus Torah. The concept of being a holy and a holy nation is also a problem over here. The gam hem gormim l'isurim arbeh achrim levadzeh. Sof davaru pashut varu shehu mi'isurim chamurim. Says Moshe Feinstein, it's clear, therefore, this is one of the most strictest prohibitions that are out there. Person has to try and remove this tumah from amongst the Jewish people. Now the question is whether or not he would say the same thing today, bearing in mind the research, bearing in mind that it does help people, bearing in mind that medical research says actually there are no long-term effects. I don't know. Okay, they were talking about many years later, some 30 plus years later. And it's just something to be discussed. Now, all I'm saying is that this is coming to the UK. You heard it here today first. Okay, the BBC said it. Within 3 to 4 years, they're claiming that marijuana is going to be legal. And it's going to be raising all sorts of questions. Okay, within the Torah world here in the UK, like it's done already in America and Canada, as to whether or not a Jew can actually involve himself with the substance or not. This is just a very slim... Excuse me?
OU with a Moshe Psak?
Yeah, but again, so it's obviously they dealt with this, but they said that here they only give it for medical purposes. Yeah. And again, we haven't dealt with you know, the claims people make where actually they can focus better and they can daven better with it, which I've seen, which we have to discuss. And also the whole concept of dispensing marijuana today as a doctor. You know, well, how do you deal with Dina Mahfusa Dina? Does it apply? Does it not apply? You know, and long-term pain relief for the fact that maybe at the moment there's slight dangers. You know, can a Jew put himself into a slight danger? All these things which are raised as a result of this particular topic, which is much more widespread and probably needs at least a minimum another half hour discussion with Adam Mekorot, which I got, which I haven't printed for you, but I hope that's given you a little bit of an appetite, not for the marijuana, but just for the topic, okay, so that you understand the basic principles. Go ahead.